Here's Bill Meyer.
Good morning. Wheels Up Wednesday. Eric Peters will join me here in about 20 minutes. Always a great conversation on everything but transportation and where Big Brothers intersects with transportation, which is practically everywhere. And we'll also be talking a bit about that hacking of the cyber system, which essentially took down the nation's car buying networks there for a number of days. And actually a couple of different attacks that included Lithia and various others. And it's like, you know, it's interesting. Jeffrey Tucker was writing in the Epoch Times that he's raising concerns. And I've thought about this and raised similar concerns over a number of years. But a lot of people are starting to join in that you put everything online. What could go wrong? Everything in the cloud. You don't deal with barbaric paper and pen and files and actually writing something else. If you know, if you're not clicking it on a keyboard, it doesn't really exist. And then you put it up in the cloud and everything's fine until the cloud doesn't work. And it was a big deal. And I don't know if that was caused by some phishing deal. Somebody was, you know, surfing porn on some dealership and infected the network. You just don't know. But he's been looking into that story. We'll have a little conversation about that and also the latest car reviews and a whole bunch more, okay? Some of our top national headlines. First off, AOC ended up winning her Democratic primary yesterday. Not too much problem. And anyway, she ended up getting that. That's not a big surprise. I can't exactly say there's a lot of love for her in the Democratic Party, but they'll consider her a reliable one. But it looks like the squad is losing a member, Representative Jamal Bowman from New York, another Democrat, lost his primary battle to Westchester County Executive George Latimer, becoming the first member of the far-left squad to be unseated by centrist Democrats. Of course, I love the way that they term that, centrist Democrats. It's kind of like the difference between, all right, do you want really insane or just a little unhinged? Okay, so we go from insane like the squad to a little unhinged. So a little unhinged. I know the Overton window these days is quite interesting. The realm of acceptable conversation that AOC is extreme, but then anyone who would replace AOC would automatically be moderate, right? And I think the person that's replacing Bowman was giving a speech last night, and we don't want anything in there from the far left or the far right, you know, to destroy this country, you know, that kind of heated rhetoric. In other words, I'm right in the middle. I'm in the lukewarm middle, which is nonsense, of course, you know, the lukewarm middle. I don't know if being a far right person means that you're really defending liberty and actually trying to truly have the government leave you alone. Why is that considered radical? You know, that's something I've always kind of wondered about. That they always define far right radical, Thomas Massey, far right radical, you know, those kind of things. And okay, wait a minute. We just want to be sensible and kind of leave the government out of your life, and actually switch the, you know, or you know, reduce the size of government. And for some reason, it is perfectly normal to be a Democrat or Republican that wants never-ending war around the world and never-ending welfare and neb-nosing at home, right? You know, that's considered moderate and normal, you know, kind of like the, you know, the Lindsey Grahams and the Mitt Romneys. That's a normal Republican and actually wanting to think about America and America's needs as the primary deal rather than what Ukraine or Israel or, you know, Taiwan or someone else would want to. And now I know we actually have a treaty with Taiwan. I get that. But it's astounding how it is considered radical to not want to consider everybody else first. That's the radical one. It's normal and moderate to think about everything else and tax the daylights out of you and send the money overseas. And by the way, this includes our own congressman. I hate to say that. You know, we had that conversation with Cliff Benson and tried to talk about that a little bit, saying, you know, Ukraine is not the United States of America. And then what happens every time is that the Hitler card gets played. It is always 1939. Back in 2000 and 2001, it's Hitler 1939. Every time. I get a little tired of that sort of situation. By the way, this is not saying Vlad Putin is a good guy. No, not a good guy. But I know that we would not look too kindly at a foreign power backing up someone that, let's say that we, well, let's say that Mexico is trying to take us back. Of course, they are trying to take us back because we have open borders. There is Reconquista. Maybe this is a bad analogy or something. But let me put it this way. If Russia were arming a breakaway state, let's say was arming, let's say that Russia was arming Oregon right now, and Oregon was trying to break away. Do you think the United States might be a little bothered by that? That's all I'm saying. It's just, I'm just kind of keep it that way. No, it's not a perfect analogy, but let's just say that a foreign nation were essentially having our states trying to break away. And by the way, those breakaways would also like to align with them in a military fashion. I don't think the United States would take too kindly to that, but it's different when we do it. All right. That's all. I don't know if we can talk about that or not, but it just gets so irritating that so many attentions are taken elsewhere. And you can't close the border and you can't stop the fentanyl. And when you have the homeless, you can't do anything about them because, well, you can't put them into the gospel rescue mission because, exposure to, the Jesus in the Sky Buddy thing, that would cause them to explode, according to the ACLU. So you have to have a taxpayer-funded one, even though there's existing places for homeless to go. But they have rules. And we can't have rules. We can't have rules in today's America because that's racist. All right, that's a little wide-ranging stream of consciousness. And people wonder why I want to drink. Why I want to drink more heavily than I do. But anyway, you can discuss that if you want. So AOC wins, Bowman does not. Now, Congress did pass something the other day, according to the Epoch Times, that is interesting. They passed a bill to counter Beijing's forced organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners. That's that spiritual group, Falun Gong, which is banned in communist China. And the bipartisan Falun Gong Protection Act, introduced by Representative Scott Perry, 18 co-sponsors, passed by a voice vote yesterday. It's the first bill addressing Beijing's brutal suppression of the faith to advance through the chamber. It's a meditation discipline, apparently, according to Epoch Times, and they do pretty good reporting on this one. But they have this pesky little thing that, you're in trouble with the Chinese regime, and then you're going to end up being a organ donation mule for the, probably for the big party people. Oh! You have nice river. You wish to donate to potty chair? No, I'm using it. What's this say? River donation card. I don't know. Yeah, I know. That's kind of riffing on the old Monty Python bit, right? River donation card. Need we say more? But yeah, they do it for real with the prisoners there. So anyway, we'll see where that goes. That might be considered too extreme for Mitt Romney. You never know. It does have to pass it. Some local headlines here. Murder trial has started. This, according to KDRV, murder trial started for the 2022 stabbing death outside Rumors Bar. Remember that case? 23-year-old Hannah Marie Martin, murder charge for a deadly stabbing of 31-year-old Brittany Lovrovich. Lovrovich died on the parking lot next to Rumors in March of 2022. They believe this was a stabbing during a drug robbery. So that has started. Medford's historic Woolworth building up for sale. That's one of the most beautiful buildings downtown. You can pick it up for $4 million. KOBI Channel 5 reporting that this morning. And it's now, like I said, it's listed for $4 million, built in 1911, 113 years old, four-story building, been a cornerstone, housing all sorts of businesses, furniture manufacturing, to, of course, popular department store, too. And it's been a professional office hub as recent, but still, great-looking building. Always has been a great-looking building. And so if you want to buy it, step up. Maybe Britt can buy that, too, like it did with the U.S. Hotel, right? Let's see. What else do we got going on? About 900-acre fire on the upper Applegate. They got it lined. I don't know if you were at that meeting last night. If you did, go ahead and let me know. I'd be curious to get your take on that. 770-563-3770-KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show, back with more headlines and maybe your calls.
Dreaming of moving to your dream property in the county? Most rural properties rely on a well. Plowser Drilling is here to make sure your dream doesn't turn into a nightmare. Before you buy, you'll want to make sure the well is producing plenty of water. If a new well is needed, making sure the property has good water is vital. Plowser Drilling can help. They have drilled thousands of wells in Southern Oregon and can help you make an informed decision. Plowser Drilling can perform research, schedule an on-site visit, and provide free estimates based on your area. Visit clouserdrilling.com.
Patriot Electric is bringing power to the people this summer with their Generac generator giveaway. Go to KMED.com and enter to win a GP6500-watt Generac portable generator from Patriot Electric, your local Generac generator dealer that installs a full line of generators to keep your property powered up during outages. Visit KMED.com for details and enter to win now through July 23rd. Patriot Electric is your authorized Generac dealer for energy independence. Power to the people by Patriot.
Don't miss Colin Muckery and Brad Sherwood Asking for Trouble, June 30th at Brit in Jacksonville. An evening of side-splitting laughter as the dynamic duo from TV's Whose Line Is It Anyway take the stage in their one-night-only live show. With lightning-fast wit, Muckery and Sherwood transform the audience's suggestions into an unpredictable evening of nonstop comedy gold. Sponsored in part by Pacific Power and KMED. Get tickets at the Brit box office. Call 541-773-6077 or visit BritFest.org.
Saving big, I can dig on just the things I need.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley truckloads of money over the years on things you buy and use often. All Beauty Mark salon certificates are half off. Also, save big on Diner 62, Malello's Coffee, and Freddy's Diner. This and much more available exclusively at OregonEDeals.com.
I'm hooked on OregonEDeals.com. I'm saving big.
Hi, I'm Jim with the Beauty Mark Salon and Glitter Bar, and I'm on KMED and KZMD.
622. By the way, back a little bit on that earlier conversation about what is considered moderate and what is extreme. You know, the definition of an extreme right and extreme left. Just imagine if you had John F. Kennedy, and by the way, John F. Kennedy, in my opinion, not the presidential god that he was made out of by the Democrats and the historians later on, but not the worst president, but certainly not Camelot. You know, that was kind of a media creation. But John F. Kennedy running today would be considered too radical in the Republican Party. Now I'm talking about radical from the right. You know, can you imagine a Democrat running on the missile gap? The nuclear missile gap, and we've got to be building more and more and get ready for war and all the rest of it. It's fascinating how the parties have continued to move further leftward over the years. And we're told about the radical extreme right, which would have been kind of a moderate paleoconservative look back in the 1960s and 1970s. There's been a bit of decay over time. So when I hear them talking, oh, extreme, as if everything is fine. If you're right there in the middle, the mushy middle that makes no decisions, that doesn't make anybody uncomfortable, you're just right. Yeah, and the status quo rolls on, right? 24 minutes after 6, let's talk with Bob Shan. Hello, Bob. Bob Shan of Medford, always good to have you. Now, you have not walked Bruce yet, your dog, so you actually have time to talk little stuff, right?
Right, because we're on summer hours, so I got to get him out there before the pavement starts getting too hot.
Priorities, that's right.
Yes, I love your show, but I love my dog more.
Well, you should love your dog more. Your dog's probably hanging out with you more than I am, okay?
Oh, yeah, he does, and he listens, and he doesn't talk much, but I do appreciate your talk.
All right.
So, you know, we get the best of both worlds that way.
So what were you thinking this morning, huh?
I wanted to just mention and bring it up in part of conversation. You know, you're talking about being over in Ukraine and all the different things and places in the world that the U.S. is in. And, you know, I've come to learn from others that, you know, America's foreign policy is if there's, conflict going down in the world, if you've got to take that conflict halfway around the world to keep it off your shores, then that's what America has done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, are you implying then that if we don't help Ukraine, Ukraine is going to be launching terrorist attacks, or if we don't help Ukraine, that Russia will be going to war here on our shore right now?
Well, not directly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, you know, Germany had a plan to take over, you know, the continental United States and had their allies lined up with Japan, whom they would have turned on if that would have came to pass. Historically, but if there is conflict in the world, you know, you want to take it as far away from home as you can and deal with it, just like, you know, any terroristic threats, you deal with them as far away from your home as you can and do your best to mitigate it there. And yeah, there's still infiltration of terroristic activities. There's still fear of this and fear of that and fear of nuclear holocaust and fear of people infiltrating the border.
Okay. Now let me just ask you a serious question.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a serious question. Okay. I get this.
I'll do my best.
All right. There are a lot of rich Europeans all around Ukraine. Okay.
Yeah.
And frankly, they don't spend nearly as much on the military industrial complex as a percentage of GDP as we do. All right. We are essentially exhausted financially. And would there not be a greater interest in Europe if Europe loves, you know, wants to take care of business, to be stepping up and doing the hard work in Ukraine rather than the United States, several thousand miles away? It's kind of like, once again, Ukraine there, United States here, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just like I wouldn't expect Europe, if Mexico was warring with the United States, I would not expect Europe to be fighting the Mexican war, you know, against the United States, if that would be the case.
Yeah. Well, France helped America out at one point in time as part of their foreign policy. It didn't work out well for them.
No, it did not.
You know, but they tried. Can I give you a brief historical perspective that I have to go back to my grandfather, who came over on the boat during the big immigrations of the 1900s.
Okay, well, that's one of my relatives came over, too.
Okay, that half came from the Austria-Hungarian border, mm-hmm. right? Because all those folks got pushed out. I think he was 3 years old when he got here. I don't know what he did until he was 17, 18, but when he was 17 and 18, he enlisted in the army and went back to Germany to kick them Habsburgs' asses that booted their family out in the first place. And he didn't stay there. He came back home and worked in the coal mines. So, you know, I don't know how to put that together in a package, you know, of understanding of how that worked, you know, with my family history.
Is it I'm trying. I don't want to put words in your mouth in here.
No,
Bob.
Okay.
But is it a situation where the United States should be intervening everywhere in the world where we think there could be injustice? And if that's the case, it's never ending here.
I asked a Korean veteran one time, you know, I asked that question that Tom and Talon did, is why are we the policemen of the world, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. And his answer, Korean veteran up on the Frozen Chosen, you know, had that episodes where he stared off into space from time to time. Mm-hmm. And he said, because they can't and we can.
They can't and we can.
Right.
All right. Okay. Do you think we still can?
You know, it's going to hurt. And as I said, with Ukraine, they should sell war bonds just like we did. And if people want to invest.
Because, see, it used to be that running an empire paid, right?
Yeah.
It used to be that running the empire extracted wealth from all the places we're supposedly protecting. But, mm-hmm. You know, for us, running the empire is a burden on the American taxpayer. And we never seem to be asked if we wish to have that burden of running the world.
Right. Kind of like what happened to the Roman Empire when they got too big for their britches.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would dare say that we are corrupt and decadent like the Roman Empire was in its declining time.
Yeah.
And that's when also the Lindsey Grahams of that kind of era. Well, we need to have nice little splendid wars and juice things up to get people distracted. Could you detect a little bit of that going on these days?
Yeah, yeah, you can see it. You know, you can see it in modern culture. You can see it in the movies. You can see it, you know, in many different venues or, you know, internet, whatever, you know, what we're exposed to.
Yeah. Well, I just remember what ended up happening to, you know, to Great Britain, to England.
Yeah.
As the harder it tried to hang on to its, you know, to its empire, the more it ended up exhausting itself. And it exhausted itself financially, too. You know, we think about World War II as it was just a natural order of things. Well, naturally, the United States was going to take over for Great Britain. No, it's because Great Britain was financially exhausted, beaten, and broke. And I'm just kind of concerned that we keep on our current path with never-ending war abroad and never-ending welfare at home. I don't know. You just look at the history of things. Now, I'm going to say right away, things can stay crazy, and things have obviously stayed crazier a lot longer than most people who believe in the markets actually thought they could have kept the plates rolling. But but anyway, I appreciate your take on it.
So what do we do? What do we do to mitigate it? What do we do to, you know, budge that needle?
I would say go walk your dog, go do some gardening, and then drink heavily and forget about it.
No.
I wish I had the answer for that, but I do know that where our current path doesn't feel like it's in a particularly effective way to go long term. And
okay, so, what do we do?
I pray if there is a presidential replacement that cooler heads can prevail with the Russia situation. Because remember the Russia fraud that was put up by the intelligence agencies. And by the way, they should all be hanging for what they did to former President Trump at this point, in my opinion. Okay. That there is needed retribution and accountability dealt out to these sort of people. And that if there's a way to keep Russia from going completely into the arms of communist China, I think that would be a wise thing for the United States to do. If we were smart, if we were really being run by smart elites that truly cared about the American people and peace in the world. Okay? How about that?
Okay. So what can we do to budge that needle or even really, really move
We can vote.
Right?
Well, yeah, that's the only tool you have unless you have some magic brain implant that you're going to put into all the neoconservatives, both of the left and right, that are in control of the federal government right now. God love you, Bob. Thanks for the call. Let me go to line two. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome. Hello. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, good. Couldn't tell. Good morning. This is Lynn, and I'm just wanting to call about Ukraine. And I think Tom called yesterday. This is ridiculous that we are involved in Ukraine. There's no evidence that Putin wants to expand. In fact, Russia has been trying ever since the collapse of the Soviet Union to rejoin the Community of Nations. They've told them over and over. They even asked to join NATO.
They asked, and people forget about this. They asked to join NATO, and we said no. It's almost like, I'm sorry to yell. I'm not yelling at you.
And we broke our promise. Baker promised that NATO would never expand any farther east. And now they want, they've announced that Ukraine is going to be in NATO. That's right on their border. That's the same as the Cuban Missile Crisis. And we wouldn't stand for it.
No.
So these people are morons. They really want World War III because that makes them richer and gets rid of people because they think there's too many people anyway.
My suspicion of this about that is that the desire for war is that's the Great Reset. That's the Great Reset in which you essentially destroy the currency, replace it with your central bank digital currency. And I know that sounds very conspiracy theory Thursday thing, but they talk about it openly. They're not kidding about it.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah, that's the plan. You just need an emergency.
Yeah, a big enough emergency to be able to conduct this. And I got to tell you, you know, the elites running the situation here are pretty much a bunch of satanic toads. There's no other way.
They're literally satanic. panic, in my opinion.
Yeah.
One more thing. Biolabs, pardon me. We have a bunch of biolabs in Ukraine, and nobody talks about it. So what's up with all of that?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a corrupt deal all around.
Point well taken. But remember, to be a moderate, as defined as a Republican, a moderate Republican or a moderate Democrat, is to support all this. Got it?
And I remember that Trump tried to stop and try to find out what was going on in Ukraine, and they impeached him over it. And I'm furious with Trump for defending the dead baby poison death shot, for the COVID lockdowns and all of that. But his foreign policy was fantastic.
Yes, it was.
I would love to see him in office again and be in charge of foreign policy.
I just don't know if round two of Trump would be willing to go where he was trying to go first time, and they tried to kill him over it, kill him politically. You know,
right. I don't know.
Okay. I appreciate the call. Always thoughtful, Lynn. 770-5633. Let me go to one more here. I'm running a little bit behind, but let's see if we can get a quick one in. Hi, who's this? Go ahead.
Hi, this is James in Selma.
Hi, James.
Lindsey Graham said Ukraine has $14 trillion in minerals, gas, and resources, and that we don't want the $14 trillion in Ukraine to go to China or Russia.
Oh,
that
okay.
We're there to take it. And then RFK Jr., there's a video, who really profits from the Ukraine war? He says BlackRock, Monsanto, that we're loaning them all this equipment, and it's paid for by their property, by their good soil, and Monsanto gets that. BlackRock gets all the minerals, all the good stuff. So, and all the factories and stuff is already.
So, in other words, we get involved in the war to enable our own rackets.
Yeah, it's
gotta love it
for the war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting. Could you send me a little information on that, James? I've not read any of that information. I'd like to.
Junior video YouTube.
Oh, okay. If you could pop your link to it, I appreciate it. Okay. Thank you. And by the way, the email, bill@billmeyershow.com. We'll continue on here. Wheels Up Wednesday. Eric Peters joins me in a matter of seconds.
American Rancher Garage, United in Service.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rancher Garage, a full-service auto repair shop. We get numerous questions that begin with, hey, do you work on? So to put it simply, if it's between your license plates, we probably work on that. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. Stop by Biddle Road, right across the street from Elmer's, or call us at 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Democrat primary voters in Westchester County, New York, send a member of the squad packing. Two-term Congressman Jamal Bowman defeated by George Latimer in the primary in New York's 16th Congressional District. In Colorado, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert has won her Republican primary race. Her victory comes after she switched districts. Former President Trump now has more freedom to speak his mind about his recent conviction in his New York criminal trial. A gag order imposed by the presiding judge has been loosened somewhat. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is back home in Australia now. Under a Justice Department plea deal, he was sentenced to time already served for publishing classified U.S. military documents online. And the NTSB has wrapped up its investigation of the chemical train wreck in East Palestine, Ohio. More details at srnnews.com.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your health care costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65+. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-SHARE-55. That's 833-SHARE-55. 833-SHARE-55.
Summertime is truck time in Southern Oregon, so I'm going to keep the $4.45 a month deal going on Ford F-150s. Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center. Tow the boat or camper for only $4.45 a month and a new Ford F-150. Go haying, hunting, or hauling for only $4.45 a month and a new Ford F-150. Whatever you do in your truck, make sure you do it in one from Butler Ford and Truck Center, where I'll show you how to lease a brand new Ford F-150 for only $4.45 a month. And let's talk about Ford Certified Pre-Owned Vehicles. We're the dealership that sells A make and model as Ford Blue Certified. Ford backs up these pre-owned vehicles with a comprehensive warranty and roadside assistance. Butler says yes to easy financing to everyone. Butler says yes to $4.45 a month on a new F-150. And Butler says yes to certified pre-owned vehicles with warranty. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned hybrid and electric vehicle.
36-month lease payments and 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade. Do a sound new excluding tax, license, saddle, and 250 dealer dot fee on vehicle with cap cost of $42,884. Approved financing to Ford credit. Offer expires 7/9/24.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMED.
6:42. Wheels Up Wednesday. Eric Peters, automotive journalist and genius at epautos.com. And it's always Wheels Up Wednesday. We talk about all the good stuff that is going on and all the crazy things. And, hey, let's talk about the latest Tesla explosion or a problem. You know, because you're never supposed to say anything bad about a Tesla, at least if you're in the auto journalism world. Isn't that right, Eric? Welcome back.
You are correct, sir, as Ed McMahon used to say. And by the way, I love the Black Sabbath bumper, and that segues us into the Tesla bumping into something. Mm. You remember back in the 80s when Audi got practically run out of business over what was called unintended acceleration?
I do remember that. In fact, I think it may have been even unfair. If I recall, it was more about, driver error, I think. I don't know if you ever...
Was it? The cars were accused of unintentionally accelerating. In fact, it was the drivers, because the Audis of that era had pedals that were more close together than was typical for American cars of the time. And so the driver would think they were pushing on the brake, and they kept pushing harder and harder, and the car kept going and going, and sometimes right through the wall of their garage. And, you know, the thing was, it was very difficult for Audi to defend itself in that day and got practically put out of business. Well, today, we actually do have unintended acceleration of the vehicle, this Cybertruck. A guy had ordered one. He was waiting for it. He was really eager to get it, and so eager that he decided to take a video of himself driving it. And what happened was the thing decided it was going to just accelerate, and he hit the brakes as hard as he could. He left about 50 yards of black marks on the road, and the thing did stop when a house helped him to stop it.
Oh, okay. And so now is this one of those $130,000 Cybertrucks, or was it maybe the cheaper version? Maybe the cheaper version.
I don't know exactly how much he paid for this particular one, but yeah, they're in that ballpark. Now, what's interesting about it relative to the Audi is that back in the day, back in the 80s, that sort of thing just generally didn't happen because there was a physical throttle cable between that connected your pedal, the accelerator pedal,
to
the engine, and that made the engine accelerate. Now it's all drive-by-wire. So when you're pushing on that accelerator pedal, it's the computer that's causing the engine, or in the case of an EV, the motors, to turn. So there was some kind of glitch or fault with the Cybertruck that the computer told the motors to keep on turning, and there was nothing that the driver could do to intervene.
And they were overcoming the power of the braking system. Now, I'm curious. I don't know how the Tesla is designed. Is it a hydraulic braking system, or is that also a drive-by-wire situation in which the computer applies the brakes? I'm just curious, you know?
I don't know offhand whether it's a hydraulic, electric, or some combination of the two, but the torque of those electric motors is absolutely tremendous and sufficient, apparently, to overcome whatever clamping force the brakes may have had, and so the result was the accident. But the point is that you're at the mercy of these electronics. You know, back in the day, if your accelerator pedal stuck, you could reach under there and pull the thing up, and if that didn't work, well, you could put the transmission into neutral. You can't do that anymore either, potentially, because once again, and most people don't know this, when you move that gear selector from park to drive, you're not connected mechanically to the transmission. You're just causing a signal to be sent to a computer, And the computer then decides whether to put the transmission into drive or any other range.
Yeah, wasn't there a recall going on because of the electronically controlled transmissions in some Ford trucks? Didn't that happen recently?
I seem to recall a story. The thing would, I think it would either shift down into first and not upshift or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that some of the vehicles that I drive, if you put it in reverse and you try to back up with the door cracked open, maybe because you want to look at the curb, it'll put the transmission into park.
Yeah, I've looked at that too, and people were kind of confused. Why won't the truck move, right, or the car move? It's interesting. But once again, it's the vehicle thinking to you, thinking for you. It's all that artificial intelligence that is that we're paying so dearly for in some cases here.
And it's not just Teslas. This is across the board. You know, it happened that this is an electric vehicle, but all vehicles now are electronic and electronically controlled vehicles.
All right. Well, no doubt Ford will get that problem taken care of. Mm-hmm. And now those transmissions, though, in the affected one of that recall, though, isn't that something? Was that due to electronics or was that a mechanical problem? Do you know? Have they announced?
Offhand, I do not know, but the gear shifting, the operation of the transmission is all electronically controlled. It's still a hydraulically actuated transmission, but the governing mechanism is electronic. The computer tells the transmission what gear to be in and when to shift and so on.
It's not like that vintage turbo hydromatic 400 that might be. I don't know. Do you have one of those in your...
I do, and it's a fluid hydraulic valve body.
Right.
Fluid pressure and accumulators and things like that are what determine when the thing shifts.
No electronics in it whatsoever.
No.
When did the electronic transmissions really start coming of age? You remember?
Well, they first began to come around in the mid-late 80s with something very simple. They had a lock-up torque converter, which is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. That was just a simple 12-volt connection.
Oh, yeah.
But then they got progressively more electronic, and I think probably by the time you get into the mid-1990s, they are all electronically controlled. Now they're not just electronically controlled in terms of their shifting. They're all drive-by-wire. Hmm. Used to be at least that there was some kind of a mechanism that controlled the gear selector so that if you moved it from park to drive or whatever, that was a physical connection between your hand and the transmission. That's not the case anymore.
Well, drive-by-wire is fine unless the wire malfunctions or what's controlling the wire malfunctions, right? That kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. And I can tell you, I've been test driving cars for 30 years now. And over the course of about the last 5 years, I have experienced serial glitches with these brand new cars to a degree that never happened before. It was very uncommon for me to get a brand new car that had some kind of a glitch. That happens pretty commonly now.
I recall you a few months ago.
What they're going to be like after they've been out in the road and out in the rain and the heat and the cold after 8, 9, 10 years.
I recall a number of months ago you were driving, was it a Toyota or a Subaru, that you were out on the highway and it just decided to stop on its own?
Yeah, exactly. It did. It stopped in the middle of the road. And by the way, we're going to be seeing a lot more of that thanks to Biden and NHTSA, which have decreed that all vehicles are going to have this advanced form of automatic emergency braking within the next couple of model years. And so probably you're going to be seeing cars slamming their brakes on automatically on the highway. And God help you if you happen to be behind one of those cars when that happens.
I sent you an article the other day about that in which the auto manufacturers are saying, hey, there's going to be a real problem with this because the automatic braking systems they claimed, and I think you would probably concur, is that they would be much more brakey, if you want to call it that, than humans would be. Humans would tend to be able to follow safely, more safely than this is. And so they're figuring there are going to be a lot more rear-end collisions if these rules get put in, right?
No question, in my opinion. They're not nuanced. You know, I get to test drive these cars, so I've experienced it. They operate in the way that you would expect a very elderly person with poor eyesight and a lot of fearfulness might react when driving a car. They brake prematurely, they brake too hard, and they brake unnecessarily. I've had it happen when I'm driving on a country road, let's say, and there's a large earth berm on the side of the road, and you're coming up on a corner. But from your point of view, maybe 50 yards from the berm, it looks like you might be driving into the berm, but your human brain knows there's a curve and you're going to turn, but the camera in the car just sees that object in its path and it starts braking the car.
Boy, something to keep in mind here. This is why you go to EP Autos and learn about this kind of stuff. This is what Eric writes about. The latest one, intended acceleration about the malfunctioning, very expensive Tesla truck here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to think about that when I see the Tesla truck in Medford. There is one here in Southern Oregon, so I could I'll give it wide berth, just in case, all right?
Isn't it incredible, though, the way Elon gets a pass on all of this stuff?
Absolutely.
This is not the first time this has happened with Tesla vehicles.
if this were happening with a Toyota or a Ford all the time, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. it would be nonstop headlines everywhere. Okay. Now, the one thing I will say is that, let me just have a little fun with you on this intended acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a possibility that, as you have written on epautos.com, that all the automobile manufacturers are trying to get you to buy every feature on your car as a service, a monthly subscription?
Yep.
Is there a possibility that the new Tesla truck owner did not pay for braking as a service? Proper braking?
No, not with regard to that. That would be permissible under law. The thing has to be able to stop, at least for now, supposedly.
All right. Well, we're really sorry, but you didn't pay your monthly fee.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't pay your Amazon Prime, which includes free braking on your Tesla connected vehicle.
But you know what? It's going to get to the point where you're going to have to pay a subscription for something like air conditioning or heat.
Heated seats.
You know, they're already doing it with heated seats.
Yep. All right. And people wonder why I'm hanging on to 14-year-old cars, 14 and 18-year-old cars right now.
22 years old for me.
I know. Well, I have a – how old is the Vanagon? 42. The Vanagon's 42 this year. By the way, Eric, I just want to let you know, I'm going to send you a video because in a few days I'm going to install – I took out the standard stock analog speedometer on that diesel camper of mine because it's mm-hmm. woefully inaccurate. It's a horrible speedometer. All the old Volkswagen speedometers were horrible.
One of those ones where the needle just kind of bounces around erratically?
That's the one.
Yep.
Yeah, you know about that. So I ended up buying a GPS speedometer that looks just like the stock one, but it takes a GPS thing and it calculates it. So I will do a video and send it to you on what 0 to 60 on a 48-horsepower Volkswagen diesel camper is doing, okay, what that takes.
And I'll have plenty of time to make myself a sandwich while I watch.
Yeah, have a cup of coffee, whatever, just for fun. I'll send it to you, all right? Because you've sent us so many great videos over the years. We'll be right back with Eric. If you have a question or a comment, have a question about a vehicle you're thinking about or maybe you want to get rid of or repair, a kink, or whatever, just call in, all right? 770-5633 on KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
The Sherm's Markets.
I'm back with Eric Peters, automotive journalist at epautos.com. Wheels up Wednesday. And it's time for your calls and questions and comments on the genre, as it were. Let's go to Lauren. Lauren's out in Eagle Point. Lauren, you rented the car in Oklahoma the other day you wanted to tell Eric about. Go ahead. Let's hear the story.
Yeah. I'm one of the old guys you talked about, but I don't stop for berms. But anyway, I rented this Toyota Camry, and I'm driving down the highway with it, and all of a sudden it starts drifting a little bit, and then it jerks back to the left. And I thought, my, there's a lot of wind out there. And then it happened all the time. And then I thought, I think this car's driving itself. So I just took my hands off the wheel and straight stretch, and it went, came to a curve. And it just blew my mind because I'm driving an old Saturn. I mean, it's 18-year-old Saturn. But it's. I wish they had told me that. That's really the question. Should they be telling drivers like me, hey, this car drives itself. Be careful. What do you think?
What do I think? I do think that they should tell you when it's actually self-driving here. That was a wild story. By the way, I had lost Eric during that time,
I
was listening to you and getting him back on. But Eric, Lauren was just talking about having rented a new car. What was the car again, essentially?
Toyota Camry.
Yeah, and he said it just started driving itself, and he thinks that the car should be warning you that they're driving themselves. What do you think about that?
Yeah, but what fun would that be?
I'm an old guy, Eric.
Yeah, much more fun to have it fighting you, right? I appreciate the call. Thanks for that, Lauren. Let me go to John. John's here. John, you're with Eric Peters. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bill. Hey, Eric. So a friend that owns a auto mechanic shop in town told me yesterday that California is planning on putting something that regulates cars to 65 miles an hour, like a governor.
Yep. Yeah, they are. They've actually passed it. It's a form. It's an elaboration of the speed limit assistance technology that practically every new car already has. That will assault you with buzzers and lights if you drive more than 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. Initially, you know, you can push through it and you can continue to drive however fast you'd like. But I believe that inevitably they're going to do the next thing, which will be to prevent the car from driving any faster than whatever they decree the maximum speed to be.
Yeah, it sounds like Minority Report coming to life.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, just a little bit. Once again, though, I don't think this is going to actually help sell new cars. Would you agree on that, Eric?
Completely. I think that the public generally is beginning to sour for a variety of reasons. You know, this Big Brother stuff is one. Another is just the cost. And then there's the cost of insuring these things, which is getting to the point of insufferability. And more people are just deciding that they're going to opt out, that it makes more sense to put some money into whatever vehicle they've got or to buy a used vehicle.
All right, let's talk with Joel. Joel's over in the Iron Gate. Hey, Joel, you're with Eric.
Yeah, Eric. You know, back in the late 70s, California was evidently given the right to be their own EPA. And
yep.
Now Governor Newsom has decided not only do we want diesel trucks go electric, which we know it takes God knows how big a battery, but now he's thinking, oh, I want diesel electric trains to be all electric trains.
Sure. Sure. It's all part of the same agenda. And you're right. Back in the 70s, they created something called the California Air Resources Board that set California standards. And then other states began to emulate them and adopt them. And in what I think was a catastrophically bad decision, the car industry generally, rather than telling California, well, okay, we're just not going to sell you cars in California, we'll sell cars to the other states, they caved in and they went ahead and agreed to whatever California decreed for the rest of the country. So now, effectively, all cars are California cars.
Exactly. And that is a real issue. And I guess they don't feel like they can afford to lose the California market. That's the reason for it, essentially, right?
Well, that's what they thought. Now they're going to lose the market, period.
Yeah. Hey, Joel, appreciate the call there. And in spite of all of this weirdness and these intrusions and these horrible overregulations of things, and there are still just some amazing vehicles being made, and you get to drive all the cool ones here.
Yep.
And you told me last week that you had the 2024 Land Rover Defender. Now,
yep.
A lot of people like Land Rovers. There's a lot of things to like about it, and some of the older ones, some things not to like about them so much. So
yeah.
Why don't you tell us what is up with the brand new one?
Well, let me preface it by saying 30 years ago, I drove a new Land Rover. It had a 3.9-liter V8 engine that put out, are you ready for it, 182 horsepower.
Oh, my gosh.
It got about 11 miles per gallon, and it was horrible on the highway because it was just a heavy, tall vehicle that just couldn't push itself through the wind very well, and it was horrendous in the corners, you know, genuinely dangerous for somebody who did not drive it with appreciation for what it was. Now, what it was a very capable off-road vehicle. That's why you see these things in all the safari shows, you know, in Africa and everywhere else. They're ideal for that purpose, but they were single-track vehicles. They were designed for that purpose. This new Defender is every bit or even more capable than its antecedents, but come standard, the standard engine is a 2-liter 4 that makes almost 300 horsepower. And you can get it with a supercharged V8 that makes more than 500. And if you want to go somewhere in the middle, it's available with a V6 that's about 400 horsepower and gets more than twice the mileage of the original. And
so not only can you go off-road, but you can really scoot when you're doing it, right?
Both. You know, so it's not just a vehicle that you keep next to your everyday vehicle in the garage. This can be your everyday vehicle. And speaking of that, you know, it's available, as it was in the past, in multiple configurations. You can get it in a 2-door. You can get it in a 4-door, and then they have a longer version that has a third row, which you can decide not to have if you want to open up storage capacity. And it has an almost limitless array of options that you can use to configure it the way you want it for your specific purpose. So it's just a neat, cool vehicle that has personality, utility, and practicality all in the same package.
I would imagine, though, that affordability for we po-folk may not necessarily be part of it, or am I wrong?
Well, it can get expensive, but you can get the base 90, the 90 is the 2-door, for a little over $50,000, which in today's market isn't ridiculous. You know,
no.
It's expensive, but it's still within reason given what you'd spend on, say, a half-ton truck. They cost about the same, too.
Now, let's see, if you want the massive V8, what do you have to pay for that then? You know?
Well, now you're looking at about $100,000.
Oh.
You know, the V8 has become what the V12 was 20 years ago. It's kind of an exotic engine at this point.
All right. But still, a thumbs up then on the Land Rover. Very good.
Hey, both thumbs up. Yep.
Hey, what do you have coming up for next week? Do you know?
I hate to do this to you. Every week we do this. I don't know. I think I'm getting the new Toyota Crown, which is the replacement for the Avalon that retired last year.
Okay, so an actual sedan, or is it a crossover?
Yeah, it's an actual sedan. It is a notch up above the Camry in size, but like the Camry, you know, no more V6. It's a hybrid four-cylinder combo.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the read on that. And anything else that's ringing your chimes before we take off that we should make sure and hit?
You know, I'm going to have another drink. I can't think of anything at this moment.
Okay. Well, hey, believe me, just about every morning we come in and look at the news, and we want to drink heavily, too. So we're right there with you, compadre. All right?
Thank you very much.
Eric Peters, automotive journalist and genius at epautos.com. Support the site. Weigh in. By the way, be a commenter. I haven't been commenting enough. I've just been kind of a lurker. Sorry about that. I'll get back.
Oh, that's no worries. There are a lot of lurkers. And, you know, just when the spirit moves you, you know, then drop something publicly.
All right. Thanks a bunch, Eric. We'll see you next Wednesday.
You bet, Bill.